From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Joe Palca reporting. Death toll now up to 14 in India bridge collapse. A bridge under construction collapsed in the eastern Indian city of Calcutta on Thursday, killing at least 14 people and injuring dozens more. Rescue workers are frantically trying to free those believed to be underneath the concrete slabs. Witnesses said a number of people in vehicles, including two buses carrying more than 100 passengers and several taxis, were under the bridge when it came down. Search and rescue operations are underway to reach people believed to be trapped under the concrete slabs. Teams from India's National Disaster Response Force and military personnel were brought in to aid the rescue effort. Prior to their arrival, residents and firefighters had been trying to free those trapped with their bare hands. Construction workers who were on a tight schedule to complete the bridge set up camps near the site where they could sleep and cook. Many world leaders are in Washington for President Obama's fourth and final nuclear security summit Thursday and Friday in an effort to keep nuclear material out of the hands of terrorist groups and others with malicious intent. White House spokesman Josh Earnest on Wednesday pointed to the international nuclear deal with Iran as a way to control the spread of nuclear material.
The Iran deal, the international agreement to prevent Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon, is probably the best example of that. A large percentage, 98% of their stockpile of highly enriched uranium, was shipped out of the country and was secured. That's a good example.
Now, the White House says there are an estimated 2,000 metric tons of highly enriched uranium and separated plutonium with civilian and military programs around the world. This week's summit will include a special session on how to ensure that groups like Islamic State do not get their hands on nuclear materials. The head of the UN-mediated Libyan Unity Government arrived at a base in Tripoli today by ship. This is VOA News. The head of the UN-mediated Libyan Unity Government arrived at a naval base in Tripoli by ship on Wednesday after being denied entry by air in a bid to set up a temporary seat of power. Fayez Shiraz, the new government's prime minister, arrived from Tunisia with several other ministers. He said, "With God's help and with everyone's support, we will work to create a state with institutions and laws, with the participation of all Libyans, work for a ceasefire, end the bloodshed, and confront the dangers presented by the Islamic State." But the members of the so-called Presidential Council lack the support of Libya's two rival administrations. The government of National Accord is the result of UN mediation in December aimed at ending the North African country's political stalemate and reining in bands of militia in a country awash in arms. Now, 2022 seems like a long way off, but when you're watching the World Cup in Qatar 6 years from now, Amnesty International will want you to recall that the venues for that event were being built by what they call forced labor. In a report released Thursday, the human rights organization said it interviewed 132 construction workers at the Khalifa International Stadium, one of several being built to host the games. The workers, all migrants, reported abuse, ranging from degrading living conditions to withheld salary payments and passport confiscations. Similar findings have been noted before by rights groups, but this is the first report tied to World Cup preparations. Qatar says it's working to resolve issues from labor conditions in the country and noted that the report concerns only four of some 40 companies working on the projects. At least six people have been killed. An unknown number of others were wounded when a suicide bomber targeted a treasury official in the Somali town of Galkayo. Witnesses told VOA that the bomber hugged the official, Saeed Ali Yusuf, before blowing himself up, killing the official and five other people. Al-Shabaab claimed responsibility for the attack. Syrian President Bashar al-Assad told a Russian news agency Wednesday that the international talks in Geneva should result in a government that includes both opposition representatives and officials loyal to his regime. Mr. Assad on Wednesday said a preliminary constitution could be drawn up within a few weeks. Middle East analyst Nabil Khoury of the Atlantic Council, however, calls that unrealistic.
What Bashar al-Assad is saying is that he would welcome the presence of opposition in the future government of Syria, and what he's talking about is a government of national unity under his presidency with elections later to be prepared.
This is Joe Palca reporting from Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
News. It's the